What we got? Yeah, I think we can rock with this. I think we sound good. I think we're doing some dope stuff. I think we sound proper. So let's do this. Lay ill kid at one youngster holding it down. Bring that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today all year. Coming with another wonderful episode of That's Right. Nerd Soul on screen. We're getting into TV. What's going on, y'all? We are in Studio B today. Normally, we are in Studio A. Today, we're in Studio B. We're having a lot of fun because, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, you are staying safe. Mask gloved up. Stay in your butt in the house. But if you're not, hopefully, you with some loved ones that are also masked and gloved up. With that said, Unification Part 3. Unification Part 3, though? Yo. Okay, so this is Episode 7 of Star Trek Discovery Season 3. And this show has been solid the whole season. Whole season been solid, right? Whole time. Been kicking it, been chilling, been minding y'all business. Direction has been on point. Acting has been on point. The music has been incredible. The effects, the fight scenes, the mystery behind what's going on with the burn, what's going on with Giorgio, everything is extremely enticing, intriguing, entertaining. This episode don't slip on you neither. I'm going to go on and jump into it. Hashtag Black Love in Space. Don't you love to see it? Don't you love to see it? That's right. Melanin just chilling in the bed, laying up. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. They loving it. That's right. You best believe. I was like, oh, snap. That's right. A little Black Love. Ain't nothing wrong like playing a little Donnell Jones in space. Maybe playing a little bit of Patti LaBelle, a little loofah. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to go in and throw that out there. I gave you a little review of what I'm thinking about. We'll talk about it later. A little reaction. I just love to see it. Book, I like him. Dope actor. And then, of course, Burnham, I like her. I like both of their characters. And they work. They work. So I dig that. But let's go in and get into this episode because this episode is chock full of stuff when it comes to emotions, emotional connections. I want to give a big shout out to, of course, the way they utilize the, once again, familial, well, sort of basically familial connection with Spock. And we got to see Leonard Nimoy. It was just touching to see how she saw that. And then also seeing that the black box bore fruit. You know what I'm saying? Because for a while, I was wondering, well, maybe they'll come back and it'll be a situation where none of this even makes any sense. Like none of the, they get the black box and nothing comes from it. You know what I'm saying? Nothing, you know, they can't figure out. It was kind of like an end run that did nothing. But we finally get to find out that, oh, all of these explosions didn't come at the same time. We're able to triangulate a little something-something. And maybe, just maybe, we're a step closer to figuring out exactly what is going on here. So I like that. We're getting our little baby fragments. We're not really doing any fillery stuff. And we're getting a lot of meat on the bone when it comes to characters, which I really enjoy. Because we also now learn about SB9. SB9 and Navarre. And I'm like, oh, Navarre, cool. What's that? We find out, oh, the Vulcans and the Romulans just be like, yo, cool. Because of Spock, everybody came together. We good. We happy. We living it up. You know what I'm saying? Peachy keen. Well, not exactly. But they are trying. They're working towards things. And they're trying to have a better connection to their peoples as a whole. And I enjoy that. One thing I really enjoyed from the people's aspect was the speech or not the speech, I guess the back and forth about science, politics, culture, about how in many cases you can't just extract one from the other. I thought that was really dope. I thought that was nice to add in there. And I also enjoyed very much so the conversations that we got in here. So let's jump into one of them. Burnham and Tilly talking together before we get on the mission to, you know, well, not really a mission, it happens on the ship, but before we get into the whole quorum thing, Tilly, Burnham have their heart to heart. And, you know, Burnham was like, yo, man, I just didn't want you to get in trouble. I didn't want to let you know. So you'd have kind of plausible deniability, I guess. But then Tilly, on the other hand, is like, but you took my choice away from me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have the ability to decide, you know, do I want to do this or do I not? You know what I'm saying? And it was cool to have them come to that understanding, like, yo, man, I got your back. I always got your back. But you put me in a weird place with Saru. You know what I'm saying? Me and Saru been cool. And you put me in a weird spot. But then I also see Burnham, where we learn more later on when we'll talk about her struggling with, does she even belong anymore? You know, it's understandable. She's always been inside the Federation atmosphere, I guess you could say. You know what I'm saying? And now being on her own for a year to be able to make her own decisions, to move on the fly. And of course, like they said, if you want to go fast, go alone. So not saying that she didn't learn from the Discovery or the Federation or her shipmates there, but just the ability to make a decision and go. It doesn't have to be some kind of, you know, some kind of political issue. It doesn't have to be some kind of like round table discussion. I can just say, I want to do this and let's go. And shout out to NRAM. Nice to see you in the spot. What up, what up, what up? So I think it's fair to see that kind of struggle, that push and pull with her, like saying like, this is what I know. And you know, sometimes you get stuck, like, this is what I know. This is where I should be. This is what should be going on. But I don't feel right. I don't feel the same as I used to feel. You know what I'm saying? So I like to see that struggle more and more. And it's been building throughout these episodes and seeing it kind of, I guess, coming to a head and then seeing a resolution for it in the same episode was nice. I thought that was really dope. And before we jump to the quorum, I did want to talk about another discussion that we had with Saru and Tilly. Saru and Tilly, especially throughout season 2 and now much more in season 3, have a very close relationship. Very close. And, you know, I'd say they're filled with trust. And seeing how he's talked to her when they were going on the planet in the second episode, seeing how he talked to her now, seeing him approach her saying, yo, would you mind being my number one? And I understand Tilly's side of saying like, hey, you know, like, I'm not made for this mess. I'm an ensign. I haven't gone through no training. But on the other hand, with Saru, Tilly has a lot of intangibles that I think are very important for number one. Tilly is not the fighter that Michael Burnham is, no. But I do believe, or I agree, with Saru and the rest of the crew that we see later, that Tilly loves the Discovery. She loves the crew of the Discovery, and you need that heart. You need that reverence and respect and admiration for the people that you're with, for what you work for and what you respect and what you kind of embody as far as your virtues and values. And that is where I think Tilly is like extremely well suited for this. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, she ain't never going to be chop sake in nobody, but don't sleep on season 1. You know what I'm saying? Tilly, she got down. So seeing her, you know, kind of do her thing in that season, let me know that she's not, she's not like this dainty flower. Like, no, she's not, you know, she's not Jackie Chan, but at the same time, I feel confident that she can be a number one because I believe that she honestly cares. I believe that she honestly cares about the Discovery and what the Discovery will be doing and getting into and what they will become, if they become anything, you know what I'm saying? So I dig that. And I dig how these moments were, directed. Here's why. They didn't hit you over the head with the music. They didn't hit you over the head with the two people are in the room talking. It seemed more organic in how they came in touch with one another, meaning Tilly with Burnham and then also Saru with Tilly. But Tilly's, we're not done talking about Tilly yet. Another cool moment is Tilly and Stamets. Stamets being like, you know what? I don't know how I would take orders from you and even where this will go, because I mean it's not like it's going to be a cakewalk for her, but it is time for her to step up a little bit, you know, because they've been through so much. Their training has been non-traditional. definitely non-traditional in a way where I think she's ready and she just doesn't realize all of the things that she's really done. In a lot of cases you might see a situation where maybe you're doing something, but you don't call it what the professional world calls it. But then you realize, oh, I've been doing this function or this title for X amount of years. You know what I'm saying? But big shout out to Tony in the chat says, Tilly is more agreeable to Saru. And I like where she brought that. She made a statement about, am I qualified or am I compliant? And I think that was a very interesting line for her to throw in there, because if I was Tilly, I would also want to make it known, I'm not here just to be your yes man. Like, me and you agree on a lot of stuff, but I'm not here just to be your yes man or your yes woman and just high five you on everything you want to do. You know what I'm saying? My job is to be maybe a conscience sometimes, maybe be a confidant sometimes, maybe be in a dissenting voice sometimes. I mean, not for the sake of, but to make sure that we're checking our bases, that we're doing everything that we can or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I did like that line that she brought. And I think that Saru, hopefully not, but I think instinctively Saru was like, I'm tired of Michael Burnham. I need someone who is opposite of her. But just because Tilly is not Burnham does not mean that Tilly is going to be a pushover. I think there's a lot of moments where Tilly pushes back, but just in a more respectful way than say Burnham does. But with Tilly and all, seeing her come back to the crew, I didn't cry, but I got, it's a little, you know how I get tight in your throat? I did get a little tight when everybody's like, yes, yes, we, but then I also like where they were like, hey, we got some issues too that we want you to take to the captain. So I thought that was nice, man. And just showing once again how much of a family they've become in these three seasons. But big shout out to NRAM says, I'm not a Tilly fan, so I'm disappointed that the writers chose to go this way. There are more qualified people there. I'd agree with you. I definitely agree with you when you look at a on paper standpoint, but I would push back and say, I don't know if we can find someone who loves the Discovery more than she does. I think she really loves the Discovery, loves the people there. And I think that care translates through to the decisions that she makes for people around her. And I think that's important. But I see where you're going. I definitely see where you're going on that one. You know what I'm saying? I definitely understand that. So let's talk about the quorum, y'all. Black love in the house. We already talked about that. Black mamas in the house. Black Ma Dukes came back. I was like, oh snap, we in here. Shouts to The Wire, you know what I'm saying? But it was beautiful to see that, you know, Black mamas is back. You know what I'm saying? That's what's up. But before we get into the quorum and all that, big shout out to Tony says, I like Tilly, but I watched this show because of the black lead character angle. And it just seems that they write Michael to be un-Starfleet most times. And I see where you're going. I wonder if that's a good or a bad thing. Sometimes, you know what, let's stick on this. Let's stick on this statement for a second. Because Tony says, Michael does the right things, but not the Starfleet way. Let's stick on that for a second. I agree with you that she doesn't do it the Starfleet way. And that they do write her as kind of anti or un-Starfleet at times. But I wonder if that's good for us or for the people on the Discovery or even the Federation as a whole. Here's why. And maybe I can't articulate this well enough, but maybe we need a character, a lead character that is always challenging the Federation on what they should be doing. Not what they are doing, but what they should be doing. Because, like she said, and I mean, we know, she had to. We got an opportunity to get a black box for one of the ships from the burn. You got to take that shot. You know what I'm saying? But then you got Saru like, nah, man, we was told to stay here. So I think we need a character to always push back. Now, should it be Burnham? That's the question. That's a very interesting question. Should it be Burnham? Yeah, maybe. I mean, for me, I don't know. Yeah, I think our lead character should try to push the Federation to be more malleable. I think in a lot of cases, maybe another reason why I like Sisko so much. A lot of cases, Federation is very stuffy. And Sisko was also out on Deep Space Nine, so he was able to make more decisions that, maybe the Federation wasn't too happy with. And I like Michael Burnham in that way where it's like, look, yes, I know this is what we do, but we need to be doing this, and I'm going to do my best to push you to do this because you need to see that just because we've been doing this for, let's say 100 years, doesn't mean that we should be doing this for the next 100 years. Shouts to Tony. Tony says, I love it, but there is so much Michael hate in the fandom. There's Michael hate in the fandom because he's black. There's at least for a good portion of the good old Star Trek fans, there's a lot of hate for her when she was announced just because she's black. You know what I'm saying? So don't worry about the hate. This show is the best Star Trek show that's on right now. Because Picard lost out with me because they killed a brother within like the first 10 minutes. But anyway, is Discovery, Lower Decks, Picard for me right now. But yeah, a lot of that hate's coming just because she's black. Don't even trip on that, man. Michael Burnham's dope. Saru is dope, even though he used to get on my nerves. Saru used to be that dude that would like carry the clipboard and got to check off all your demerits, but we passed that. He cool now. man, Inram said we know the reason. So yeah, I think we need Burnham. And then this crisis of sort of conscience that she's had, I think is good because now we'll see her kind of figure out a way to be in the Federation, but also be part of the new part of what she's become. You know, and I think that's important too. I think that's really cool to see her be a different type of Federation officer. So, and then, maybe we'll see some more growth there. So that's dope because, I think Inram said that this is her ship, and I hope you were meaning Burnham. In this case, yeah, this is kind of Burnham's ship. And even Saru was going to kind of defer to her as captain, but Burnham was like, nah, man, I don't want that much. I didn't want it like I thought I wanted it. But Scratch all that. We cool. We cover all kinds of cool stuff. Let's talk about this quorum. First, shout out to the Vulcans for the Vulcan fashion. I'm not going to hold y'all. Vulcan fashion be dope in the future. You know what I'm saying? Yo, you saw the president come through with that cool collar. You know what I'm saying? Now, her eyebrows were still Vulcan, so you can't do nothing with them brows. But that collar, that dope collar, I was like, go ahead now. I see you being fly. That was that cross-knitted Vulcan wool that she was wearing. I like that. Then the brother that had a stick way deep up. You know what I'm saying? It was nice to see. He had the little shoulder thing. It was like Vulcan leather with like a little pin. I was like, all right, I see the Vulcan. The Vulcans are coming through with the fashions, looking nice. It was fly. It was nice to see that. But there's a couple of issues that I have with the way the Federation worked. I mean, yes, we're trying to get to the bottom of this bird thing. But I do think that Admiral Vance or Commander Vance, whatever his name is, I do think that he, in a kind of douchey way, leaned on her relationship with Spock and Spock's relationship to Vulcan or to N'Var to kind of get them to listen. And I don't think it was in a positive, caring way. It's more of like, let me use you. And once again, I think we need to keep our eyes on Vance because I'm not fully sold on him yet. Like, let's be for real, I'm not fully there with him at this time. But we get to speak to the president, and she comes through, and immediately Michael Burnham comes in. She's like, look, it's science. We ain't trying to do nothing wrong. She like, yo, I ain't trying to hear that. And from a directorial standpoint, every Vulcan was spot on with how I would expect a Vulcan to act, especially when it comes to kind of like very touchy, sensitive information that they have. I feel like even 930 years in the future, they were very spot on with what I expected to see from Vulcans. And I really, really, I love that kind of like writing and directorial attention to detail. It's really dope. And it was just, yo, the Vulcans were on point. And so going to that, seeing how Michael Burnham was like, hold up. So y'all still Vulcans, right? She was like, yeah. She was like, well, like, I challenge you to a quorum. You know what I'm saying? Let me spit my game. And throughout this, we get to see not only her mother enter the scene and them have their kind of connection, but also her mother make her grapple and deal with some real issues that she had to deal with as far as her feelings about herself and her place in the Federation. Now, of course, you could jump on her mom and be like, yo, you orphaned her, which her mom did, you know, open up to and everything. But I like how we slowly got her to reconnect with Vulcans, reconnect to her heritage, and reconnect to her mother, and them have a kind of like a come to Jesus to a certain degree. maybe not the best come to Jesus since it was in public. Like, mom, I would have loved to have this conversation one-on-one, just you and me. But I do like where they ended with her saying, like, you always know where to find me. Meaning, like, you know, it's not one of those situations anymore where I'm going to be, you know, gone or absent or anything. Like, I want this relationship and I want to continue this relationship. And yes, Imran said the quorum was impressive. Tony also says her mother did her so raw. Thank you. But it made for some of the best dialogue and emotion of the season. Yes. So it was foul what she did. I'm like, because if I was her, and she even kind of whispered a moment like, we are in public. Can we talk about this later? But I did enjoy what it brought up. It brought all those feelings bubbled up. And then, of course, you know, her mom did make a good point. You're not only speaking to the quorum, you're also speaking to these people in the, and you know, you got to convince them too. You know what I'm saying? And just seeing that society, you know, with the Romulans and kind of like the new guard and the old guard and the tradition, it's just very interesting seeing how people that are so logic driven don't realize how human they really are. And that's always been the thing about Vulcans, but it's just beautiful seeing it once again. And I really loved it. The makeup and all that was super fly. But that wasn't the only relationship that I like to see grow. Saru and the president and their talks together, you know, taking a long walk, you know what I'm saying? He just should have took it to the holodeck, you know what I'm saying? Look, I don't know if she got a man's shoe. Saru don't own either. I'm just saying. Nah, but one thing that I really dig is that Saru and, well, no, everyone in the Discovery, the good thing about their position in the Federation is that since they jumped 930 years in the future, or 938, something like that, they don't have the baggage and the emotional weight of what's going on at the time. So Saru is able to enter a situation and say, you know, like, you know, how can we help? How can we be here? We really just want to fix things. You know, we never thought things would come out like this. You know, let me listen to you. Let me try to find a solution instead of having kind of like the baggage of anger and maybe resentment and all that, that doesn't exist there. And I think that the absence of that baggage is what allowed Saru to reach the president and them to have a very great conversation in their walk and open that door for a possible reconciliation, because she said she wanted to have more conversations and gave Burnham the SB19 data. Or is it SB19? SB9. SB19. So big shout out to the chat. We got Tony says, long limb loving. It's a family show, y'all. So, with this, I like that we get to see the current state of Nevarr or Vulcan, where the Romulans are, where the Vulcans are, and how they are moving forward together. We get to see Mom come back through. We get to see Mom and Burnham, Tilly and Burnham. We get to see Saru and Tilly, Saru and the president. There's so many great connections here and so many story points that we get to see where, once again, where this kind of where the galaxy is at this time and what's going on with Federation and how they feel betrayed and how they feel like, you know, they feel kind of torn apart over this. Because like they said, they feel like the Federation forced them to do this, and them forcing them to do this created the burn. And even the president said, you know, bringing this new information is going to dig up old wounds. But I do think this is the right kind of data to bring forth, because this can allow you to heal, to remove the blame from yourself and saying like, yo, look, we got new data. Like, man, it's not your fault. You didn't do this. Someone else did this, or something else did this. And, you know, we're not here to jump on anybody for what they may or may not have been. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was dope. I thought that was awesome. And I am completely and thoroughly pleased. On small things, I love to see the new jump, the new mycelial network jump. He just put it in the goo and was like, so that was cool. and then also seeing that Grudge was just over there chilling. We don't know nothing about Grudge yet. We'll see. We'll see where that Grudge thing goes. But all in all, man, I dig this. There was a lot of emotion here, a lot of great emotion. Wow, this was written so well. Shouts out to the writer. I don't know who wrote this episode or what people wrote this episode, but yo, on the real, the direction, the show running this season, the writing this season has been on par, my dude. Like, I'm not mad at this show at all, yo. I'm gonna be hard pressed to be like, what don't I? You know what? I know something that I would have loved to see, but we know she has her own issues now, so she's sort of becoming a different character. I would have liked to see Giorgio and Ma Dukes meet again, because those are kind of like my two moms, you know what I'm saying? So I would like to see that, but of course, that brings in a whole nother thing, and I think that would have taken away from the moment that Burnham and her mother had. So I understand that she wasn't in there. I understand. I'm not even mad about that. Let me see. The giving you my trust part was important, because the Federation, for all of the things that the Federation is, well, was and is right this moment, it does always seem like a one-way street. Like, hey, the Federation knows best and listen to us. And I do like the fact that Michael said, no, you know what? Scratch this. How about this? I'm gonna give you all the data I have. You guys study it to your heart's content. Let us know if we can help, but we are not here to tell you what to do with your information or how to do it. And I think that also helped open up that door, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Commander Vance definitely, or Admiral Vance definitely doesn't come across as the kind of diplomatic type. He knows the rules and regulations, but he doesn't come across as like a diplomatic type dude. You know what I'm saying? So I like that. I really liked how that shined through. And someone has to give first. Someone has to submit to the other. And not meaning like roll over and show your belly, but say, you know what? I'm going to give you the courtesy of having this information, because me giving you this courtesy lets you know there's no malintent. You know what I'm saying? I want us to win. I want us to figure this out so that we can all move forward and be a better galaxy for it, or a universe for it. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was really dope. But with that said, I want to give a big shout out to Blurred Over. That's right. Blurred Over. You can check them out. Instagram. Instagram.com/BlurredOver. BLERDOVER. I did an interview with them a couple of weeks ago. They're super dope. Big shout out to the people in the chat. We got NRAM, Tony Fleming. Tony just came through and said, being divorced from canon has breathed freshness into the show. True that. Also, NRAM says, one thing I didn't like, the whispering. Yo, TV shows in general will be having whispering. But yeah, I get you on that one. You be like, hi. To the chat, NRAM, Tony Fleming, thank you for coming through once again. Anyone who's coming through on the replay, big shout out to y'all. Of course, NERD, SUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all them places. YouTube is the hub. So hit that like button, hit that share, hit that comment, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep the conversation going. And hit that thumbs up if you like what you're seeing. Hit that thumbs down if you don't, but you hit that thumbs down. I'm going to send some Romulans after you. And they're going to be old and mean, because that dude look... Well, you know what, though? He looked old and mean, but he was on Burnham's side, though. Because homie said, he was like, well, if the Vulcans don't give it, then I'm going to give it. And you can't stop me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? King Kong ain't... okay, he ain't do all that. Then... podcast, if you want to listen, Nerd Soul, wherever you listen to podcasts at. If you'd rather listen, all the audio from the show is on there too, so you can just type in Nerd Soul, enter. And then you're like, oh snap, there it is. I can hear it in my ears, and I ain't got to see it with my eyes. And then, of course, lastly, Spotify for that music. Don't sleep, your boy got jammed. So until next time, which will be tomorrow for some Black Friday stuff and lounging, and then Saturday for The Mandalorian, and then next Thursday, of course, for the new episode of Star Trek Discovery. From me to you, I'm saying thank you. I'm going to leave y'all with Arcatron, ArcKatron.com. The Space Bridge is in stores. Check it out. And, of course, let me see. All right, cool. NRAM came through, you know what I'm saying? With the hotness you got, man. Y'all, man. I'm glad we digging this show, because there's some hateration. Don't worry about that hateration. So for me to you, I'm just saying thank you for watching, and peace. That's right, man, because look, we're going to find out who did that burn, and when we find out who did it, we're going to burn them. We out.